تبارك وتعالى سبحانه وتعالى. أعوذ بالله من الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار. وقال تعالى ولقد يسرنا القرآن للذكر فهل من مدكر. وقال تعالى لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بلغوا عني ولو آية. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام من يريد الله به خير يفقه في الدين. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الدين نصيحة. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected elders and brothers and sisters in Islam and distinguished guests, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah, it's a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu wa Manawaluhu, that He's enabled every one of us to gather here so that we can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so that we can complete this compulsory action of the Friday prayer, and also so that every one of us can cultivate a worry and concern as to how each and every one of us until the Day of Judgment can be saved from the eternal doom and destruction of the life hereafter. Today I'd like to talk about the treasure of the Holy Quran. As a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the whole of this Ummah until the Day of Judgment. The Holy Quran is known as the Kalamullah. It is the speech of Allah. The very famous Arabic couplet that says Kalamul Muluki Mulukul Kalam, that the speech of the king is the king of all speeches. The speech of the king is the king of all speeches. So the Quran is the speech of the king, is the Kalam of Allah, he is the king of all kings. And this Kalam is the one Kalam that supersedes all forms of literature, supersedes all forms of recitations in every shape and form. Whether you look at it as a literary expert, an author, if you look at it as a scientist, all of the different backgrounds that I don't have time to mention, mashallah, you're all not only familiar but mashallah probably part of various of those backgrounds yourselves. From all of those perspectives, we find that the Quran is the number one book, the last of the divine revelations. Amongst the many scriptures and the other divine books that were revealed, it is a summary of everything that has happened in the past, as well as everything that will continue until the Day of Judgment. So the hadith that I presented before you, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً, Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said that even if you know one ayah or one sentence or one hadith, something very nominal, whether it be related to the Quran or whether it be related to hadith sayings of Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, then it is our duty, amongst the many duties that we have as Muslims, to learn Islam, to understand Islam, to practice Islam, and then to propagate Islam to each and everyone until the Day of Judgment. So in that aspect of practicing and propagating, we will have to be sure that we continue this chain by passing on that knowledge to the other respective brothers, Muslim or otherwise, human brothers and sisters in Islam. So I was saying that the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Kalamul Muluki Mulukul Kalam, that the speech of the king is the king of all speeches. This is the one book that we have to concentrate upon. There are various etiquettes of reciting the Holy Quran. And obviously, great detail has been placed upon the virtues of the Holy Quran. Just right at the start, I will just give you the example of one of the most famous virtues, and that is that when a person recites one alphabet of the Holy Quran, he gets one blessing, one hasana, and that one blessing is then multiplied by 10. Just looking at it from a pure mathematical point of view, there are approximately 3.2 million alphabets in the Holy Quran, which you can obviously immediately work out the blessings of reciting the Holy Quran from start to finish, just if you look at it from the point of view of the alphabets. Why am I saying that? Because there are specific benefits as well, virtues of the Holy Quran as well, which I will look at in a few moments, inshallah. So amongst the etiquette, obviously the first important etiquette is to be pure and clean. But this Quran that is to be recited is not just there for our so-called, we call it metaphorically, the bank balance of the life hereafter, where we're performing deeds and we're getting rewards for them. Of course, we have to have that as an important platform for the hereafter. But there are more important issues to be dealt with here as well. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. This is the challenge. Do they not ponder upon what has been mentioned in the Quran? Or are their hearts locked, preventing them from concentrating and meditating upon the deeper aspects of the Holy Quran? This is the challenge that Allah SWT is putting to us in Surah Muhammad. We have to learn to recite the Holy Quran, but yet go much deeper. So, on the one hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرِ. He's questioning us and saying that, you know, can there be anything more simple? But that simplicity and that ease of acquiring the knowledge of the Quran is based upon the preparation that is required. And that preparation includes having a pure heart, having purity of body and soul. The more pure the heart, the greater ease it is for the Quran and the knowledge of the Quran to penetrate in the heart. Right at the start of the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, alhamdulillah, we know it off by heart. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. So if a person does not have that piety and God-fearing aspect, the taqwa, the khashiyat, the God-fearingness already there, then it will not have that same effect. A person who is a non-Muslim and he's looking at the Quran, it will mean something completely different to him or her. In fact, Prophet ﷺ, he said in a hadith to the nearest meaning, that when you will stop inviting towards good and preventing from evil, then you will be denied of the special blessings of the revelation, which includes acquiring the true understanding and the depth of the Holy Quran. A person will be reading it, think they know what it means, but they will not understand it. They will not be able to get to the bottom of it. So there are prerequisites to most aspects of Islam. You can't just pick something up and say, oh, is that what it is? Of course not. In order to understand all of our subjects, we have to go through this pre-training or the pre-university. It's exactly the same. You can't be expected, I mean, I studied physics, so I can talk about physics. You can't be expected to understand the laws of quantum mechanics without studying the basics of maths, for example, or other aspects, just as one example. Similarly in medicine, similarly in other branches of science, commerce, industry, engineering. In exactly the same way, to truly appreciate the depth of the Quran, to go from وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ, and then to go to أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ, to get to the much deeper level, which is to do tadabbur and tafakkur, contemplation and meditation, to understand what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is requiring, and then we are absorbing the nur and the energy of that ayat of the Quran, that requires much greater level of concentration. So the Quran is a great treasure for every one of us. This treasure will always be preserved. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He has said to the nearest being, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a pledge that He will protect the words of the Quran. A mark of a true believer is when he listens to the, or she listens to the Quran, مَسَانِيَ تَغْشَعِرُّ, and the whole ayat is carrying on. When we listen to it, وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, our hearts, they resonate and shake out of the fear and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in turn that creates a resonating effect in the whole of the body. If that doesn't happen, then definitely we will have to question our levels of belief and faith. فُصِّلَتْ آيَاتُهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I have opened and elaborated upon the detail of the verses, every verse of the Quran in detail. أُحْكِمَتْ آيَاتُهُ, every verse and ayat has been strengthened, powered up, so it will have powerful effects to every believer who recites the Holy Quran or listens to it. وَإِذَا قَرَاتِ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَمِعُوا, so when the Quran is being recited, we have to learn to listen to it. It's a sin for a gathering of people to recite the Quran loudly, for everyone to recite the Quran loudly in one gathering, that will become a sin. So if there's one person reciting loudly, then others should listen. In general, if there is a gathering, then if it is the case where not everyone can listen, then that one person should also be respectful for everyone, otherwise he will induce this sin upon them, because they will not be listening. So these are the etiquettes. So I've talked a little bit about the introduction, explaining to you the background of the Holy Quran, talked to you about some of the characteristics of the Quran, I've also mentioned some of the virtues, and also some of the etiquettes as well, all in the last few moments. But let's look at the virtues in much greater detail. مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ أَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا, if a person, he says أَلِفْ لَا مِيمْ, then he gets three blessings, and those three blessings for each one of the alphabets multiplied by 10, so he gets 30 blessings. So if there are 3.2 million alphabets in the Quran, then that's 2 million hasana for reciting the whole Quran. But there are more blessings. To said in a hadith to the nearest meaning, that a person who recites Ayat al-Kursi after every Fard Salat, that is a means of protection for him and security for him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The throne verse, you have to recite it once after every Fard Salat. But to do it consistently for the whole of your life, that requires a greater level of endeavor and consistency and awareness. So if we don't already do that, does everyone make the intention that they will start that from today, inshallah? Say inshallah. If you don't know it, then learn it. Ayat al-Kursi is the most powerful ayat of the Quran. It is said in a hadith to the nearest meaning, the Surah al-Fatiha, in there is a cure for all of our illnesses. But how do we extract that cure? Inshallah, we can maybe talk about this. It's beyond the scope of this sermon today. I'm just briefly mentioning to you some of the important points. Then it is said in a hadith to the Narrative Spring that the person who recites Surah Al-Baqarah in his house for 3 days and three nights, the devil will not be able to enter that house. Surah Al-Baqarah is the biggest surah of the Holy Quran. It has 40 ruku'ah in there. So the Holy Quran, just to give you that summary again, 3.2 million alphabets, 114 surahs, 558 ruku'ahs, etc. The different sections of the Holy Quran, or from in India and Pakistan, we have the chapters as well. So we said there are 30 chapters. But really there are 114 surahs. So I was briefly listing the virtues of the Holy Quran. It is said in a hadith to the nearest meaning that Surah Al-Fatiha is equivalent to two-thirds of the Holy Quran. Reciting it once will give a person the reward of as though he has recited the Holy two-thirds of the Holy Quran. And you can work out now the blessings, because I've told you that there are 3.2 million alphabets multiplied by 10 will give you the base level reward for the whole of the Quran, and then two-thirds of that will give you the reward just as a base level reward. Just to give you an example, Wallahu yudha'ifu liman yasha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply infinite to the infinite rewards as He wishes. We do not know that, depending upon our sincerity. And then it is said in a hadith to the Nabi, meaning that Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ, that is equivalent to one-third of the Holy Quran. So if a person recites Surah Al-Fatiha once, and he recites Surah Ikhlas once, then he has got the reward of the whole Quran once. On the one hand, we are able to acquire so many blessings. But on the other hand, I have to point out to you as well, that sometimes, in fact often, one sin could be equivalent to 40 years of good deeds, 70 years of good deeds, 100 years, depending on the intensity of that sin. So a person might think, well, I'm getting so many rewards. But on the other hand, he doesn't realize, or she doesn't realize, they're also breaking away that structure by what we say, by what we do, by our actions. So on the one hand, when a person is acquiring blessings and rewards, don't you think it is very important for that person to also be careful that he doesn't lose them? Of course it is important. How do we lose our deeds? We lose our deeds by being rude to someone, by swearing at someone, by physically inflicting pain upon them, by verbally inflicting pain upon them, by taunting them, by teasing them. Then on the other hand, by suffering from jealousy, malice, any form of hatred, the equivalent amount of those deeds will go to that person. They will break away from our records, from our accounts. Again, that is a separate topic. So on the one hand, when we perform such good deeds, we are reciting the Holy Quran, to also make sure that we guard and protect them. So the virtues of the Holy Quran, Surah Zilzal is equivalent to half of the Quran. Surah Kafirun is equivalent to one quarter of the Quran. This is an example of all of the blessings that a person can get. And then lastly, Surah Yasin. Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith to the Narrative meaning that it is the heart of the Holy Quran. And the reward is, it's equivalent to 10 times the Holy Quran. Reciting Surah Yasin once. End of the 22nd chapter, beginning of the 23rd. These are the blessings of the Holy Quran. Maybe you are familiar with them. I'll give you another example. The Quran will intercede for a person on the Day of Judgment. If we have not looked after the rights of the Quran in this life, we did not respect it, put it to the ground, or turn our back to it, or touched it without wudu or purity, then it will, I'm using this phrase, intercede against us. It will go against us. And it is said that if the Qur'an intercedes for any being on that day, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have to accept it. It will be personified in the form of a light. And then it will have the ability to communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that person on that day. And it is also said in a hadith that the narrative spinning, that a person who recites Surah Al-Waqi'ah once every night, he will never or she will never be stricken by poverty. Surah Al-Waqi'ah is in the 27th chapter. And in another hadith stated to the nearest meaning, that the person who recites Surah Mulk every night, then that person will be saved from the punishment of the grave. So alhamdulillah, just by looking at these virtues, we have everything we need in the Quran. I'm not saying that we do not study other forms of literature. I'm saying we give it the due respect that it deserves and learn to be a better believer, a Muslim, by understanding the Quran. Prophet was the walking Quran. People used to ask Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, that can you give us the tafsir and the explanation of the Holy Quran? She used to say, look at Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is an example of the walking Quran. Today, it is in the books. And it is in our hearts. We remember it. Some of us will remember it, alhamdulillah. It's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the Quran is not just there for recitation, but there are great rewards for that. But it also, the objective is to understand the purpose of our life. It is a code of conduct. What did Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do at the time of Mi'raj? We'll find it. Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi layla. Brothers, humble request. Please edge forwards, inshallah, into the next row in front of you, inshallah. Be mindful, please. Don't reduce the amount of space so much, but enough so that you can do sijda, inshallah, the rows. So that, inshallah, we will accommodate everyone, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, there's plenty of room. So I was saying that the Quran is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something that requires thought and contemplation. I was just giving an example. How did Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam perform his actions? For example, we will have to reinforce the power of the Quran with the sayings of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How can we learn the correct procedure for establishing prayer and salat? You won't find it in the Quran. We're commanded to establish salat, but the process will be from the life of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, we are taught how to perform wudu. Purification is mentioned there. Other forms of purification. Yet the exact detail will be with the Sahih Ahadith. So this is another important aspect. So when the Quran is protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that also means that the correct manners of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they are the interpretation of the Quran, they're also protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this religion will continue until the Day of Judgment. At the time of Prophet Moses, we believe, Islam was in the form of Judaism. At the time of Prophet Jesus, Islam was in the form of Christianity. And now, at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the last of the prophets, Islam is in its final form. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with the lifestyle of Islam. So we find that the Quran is a complete package for every one of us, but we have to give it the time. And I'm saying initially we should spend approximately 20 to 22, 25 minutes every day. Start off with 5 minutes, or I say read one ruku every day. There are 558 ruku'ats. So even if we read one, we'd finish it in a year and a half. The haqq of the Qur'an is to recite the Qur'an once in the whole year and once in the month of Ramadan. That is the haqq. And the hadith that I presented before you, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best amongst you is he who learns the Qur'an and teaches it and propagates the knowledge out to other people. That person is known as the best. Obviously, he doesn't have the right to say that for himself. That would be a judgment made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we can hope for that. So our endeavor should be to learn the Qur'an correctly from the correct ulama and the fuqaha, the correct asatiza, get the wording right. Today, unfortunately, forgive me, I have to say this, but today we cannot even recite the Qur'an correctly even just by the wording. It's wrong. We don't know the difference between the sound of alif and the sound of ayn. Have to learn this as well. You might be thinking, well, you're being pedantic here. Of course not. I said before, kalamul muluki mulukul kalam, that the speech of the king is the king of all speeches. You have to go as far as is possible in order to achieve the level of perfectedness. And it starts off by getting the words right. The Quran was revealed in 7 types of recitation. Every time Hazrat Jibreel Islam would teach Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam those verses of the Quran in all of the 7 different recitations, so that everyone from different parts of the world can accommodate from their throat boxes, from their tongues, and from their style and their body physical structures, the ability to recite the Quran correctly and accurately. So the best amongst us is that person who learns the Quran and teaches it. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He decides to do some goodness for a person, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِخَيْرٍ يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, He opens his heart to the reality and the knowledge and the wisdom of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that includes ability to concentrate on the Holy Quran, definitely. So may Allah give every one of us a tawfiq to learn, understand, practice and propagate the knowledge of the Quran to each and every one at the Day of Judgment. Say Ameen. And give us a tawfiq to lead a life of obedience, such that the last words we might have best in the hadith from Ghana, Akhiru kalami la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. And give us a tawfiq to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment in such a state that Allah would be pleased with us and we may be pleased with Him. Akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
الله أكبر الله أكبر